In focus today, women nation leaders. Angela Merkel of Germany's Christian Democratic Party is expected to wrap up coalition talks shortly with the country's opposition Social Democrats, paving the way for Germany's lower house of parliament to elect Ms. Merkel as the country's first female chancellor. In the past century, fewer than 50 women have served as heads of state around the world. But as VOA's Zlatica Hoke reports, that may be changing.
In 1953, Sukhbatrin Yenjma became president of Mongolia and the modern world's first woman head of state. Since then, other more prominent women have been elected national leaders: Indira Gandhi of India, Golda Meir of Israel, and Margaret Thatcher of Britain, to name a few. Though they were powerful and influential leaders, other women did not quickly follow in their footsteps. Michael Genovese, a political science professor at Loyola Marymount University in Los Angeles and editor of the book Women as National Leaders, notes that only in the past decade has the number of women presidents and prime ministers increased significantly.
Well, when I started doing research on this in the late 80s, early 90s, I could name all the women who have headed governments in the world. The good news is that since the late 90s, there have been an influx of so many that I can no longer name them.
Since 1990, close to 30 women have become heads of state, as opposed to only one in the 1950s and six in the 1970s. Some have served many years, others briefly or in acting leadership roles. Many were elected in their own right, and a few stepped in after the death of a father or husband.
Another factor is that many of them emerged in times of stress, in times of social upheaval, or in times like, for example, Corazon Aquino emerges as a leader at a time when the old regime has been discredited and overthrown, and so there's a real shakeup in society.
In many countries, the struggle for women's representation in political leadership started after World War II and intensified during the 1960s and 70s, but the results came much later. Professor Genovese says it takes a long time to change a political system and even longer to break down economic, cultural, and other barriers facing women in politics.
Old habits die hard, and if you were raised to think in a very traditional nuclear family setting where the woman was subservient to the male, then it's a hard habit to break. Women are increasingly in the workplace. They are increasingly executives in businesses, lawyers, doctors, etc. But you have to remember that is a fairly recent phenomenon. In historical time, it's just a blip of a second.
Professor Genovese says since World War II, Scandinavian women have achieved the most progress in the political arena. But this has not been the situation in many countries that have elected female heads of state. Indira Gandhi of India, Benazir Bhutto of Pakistan, Sirimavo Bandaranaike, and her daughter Chandrika Kumaratunga of Sri Lanka have all come from powerful political families. Mary Wilson, president of the White House Women's Project in Washington, likens them to royal dynasties.
I think it does have to do with the power of patriarchal families in those countries, where if there's not a man positioned, that sometimes the very family dynasty power, you know, is able to spread to the woman. I think sometimes dynasty trumps gender in some of these countries.
Many observers note that the United States, the country based on the principles of democracy and equality, has not yet had a female president or vice president. It is not for the lack of trying, says Mosemary Boyd, president and CEO of California-based American Women for Presidents.
Women have been running for the U.S. presidency for over 130 years. We had Victoria Woodhull, who ran in 1872. She was the first woman to win the right to address Congress. Shortly after that, Belva Lockwood ran in 1884. She was the first woman to argue a case before the U.S. Supreme Court.
These women had little chance to be elected in their time, but circumstances changed by the 1980s when former United States Congresswoman Geraldine Ferraro became a vice presidential nominee of the Democratic Party, and in 2000, Elizabeth Dole, a former president of the American Red Cross, ran a creditable race for the presidential nomination of the Republican Party. Despite this progress, American women still have a relatively small representation in politics compared to men, less than 15%. Analysts cite several reasons for this, including the American electoral system, as well as the persistence of the traditional view that politics is a man's domain. Laura Liswood, Secretary General of the Council of Women World Leaders, points to another limitation.
If you look in other countries to see what pool they fish from, you'll see the women prime ministers have been doctors, they have been teachers, they have been and other scientists, they have been other disciplines. We basically only get our presidents and prime ministers currently from the vice presidents and the governors.
Analysts agree that money is a crucial factor in American presidential campaigns and that women have not been able to raise as much money as men to finance their bids for the White House. But a growing number of organizations raising money for women's campaigns may help change that, making a woman president a reality perhaps in the not-too-distant future. For Focus, I'm Zlatica.